Welcome to Hills I'd Die On, a podcast where I, Taylor Cox, invite guests to discuss and debate unpopular opinions they're so passionate about, they'd be willing to die on a hill over it. Thanks for listening. Welcome to another episode of Hills I'd Die On. Today we are joined by a truly magnificent guest. She is a brilliant writer-comedian, written for shows like Superstore and The Grinder and Marry Me and Like Magic, which was my favorite pilot of the season. She's hilarious and wonderful, and she's here to die on a hill with us today. Please welcome to the podcast, Bridget Kyle!
Thank you so much. Thank you for letting me come and die on a hill on your very comfy couch.
Thank you so much for coming to my 9,000 degree home in the Los Feliz.
It's so nice. It's so nice to be in air conditioning right now.
And that to our editor, we're leaving the AC on today. You guys, if it sounds weird in the background, this is the best we could do. It's Labor Day weekend. We're living the best we can.
We're already a couple beers deep. It is barely noon.
And that's the best way to die on a hill, I think
that is just, it's always how I envision dying on a hill, like a little buzzed,
yes,
and in shorts.
Yes. So I feel like the best way is if you can wake up the next morning and be like, oh no, what have I done? That's the best way to die on a hill.
Exactly. Can I actually tell you a story that relates to that? And
please.
It involves the first time we really bonded. I think about it all the time.
Oh dear.
Is like, we would see each other sometimes on the Universal lot.
Yes.
And you worked for Abby's, like the most fun staff known to humankind. And I was on Superstore.
Yes. And I would get very nervous because I had heard cool things about Bridget Kyle. And then everyone would be like, that's her. And then she'd talk with Nikki and I would stand there frozen, being like, hi, I've heard a lot about you. And you're like, yeah, you told me the last time we ran in.
I was so excited to see you guys because it was like, oh my God, other human life. Because we work in the basement of a parking garage. And so I'd see you and we would like talk a little bit and you were always so kind. And then it was at Nikki Schwartzwright's Crawfish Boil.
Yep.
And what always happens to me is when I day drink and I get like two drinks in, I become like the drunk girl in the bathroom, but like outside. And I saw you and I was like, I immediately have to tell you everything about myself and like all these embarrassing stories. And it was like,
no, not that's
medical,
not
history, sexual history. No. And then I was like, I don't know why I'm saying this. And you looked at me and you said something amazing. And I always think about it. And you're like, tomorrow, I don't want you to be like, I'm so embarrassed I said all of those things.
Oh.
So just remember, I won't think that it was embarrassing that you told me this. The next morning, of course, I woke up and I was like, holy shit, why did I tell her all these things?
Except
and then I was like, I'm not embarrassed because she told me not to be. And I was so happy.
I'm so glad, because what's going on in my head was like, am I talking enough? Am I listening enough? Oh my God, I'm so excited to be talking to Bridget. Like, it's so nice that she's telling me things.
Yeah.
So guys, this is just a reminder. We're all going through it.
We're all going through
it. It's all a journey. We're all in our own heads.
Making friends
is tricky.
Making friends is so tricky.
When you get drunk and bond in the middle of the day at your friend's crawfish boil,
Don't
feel ashamed.
Don't feel ashamed that you're covered in shellfish.
Yeah,
and
I was literally
potatoes.
You were telling me things as I was like sucking the heads out of like disgusting, like butter rich. I came home that day and I had like corn dribbling down my chest,
yeah.
And I was like, "What a fun day in the sun!" And then I was like, "I look insane."
I looked insane. I went to another party after that.
That's
humble
right.
Bread. Covered in shellfish,
yeah.
Super drunk,
yeah,
and it was a child's birthday party. And it was so inappropriate, but I have always felt grateful for our day in the sun where we bonded.
And now we're pals, and now you're here to die on a hill
and
today.
Now I'm here to die on a hill today.
The best
I'm
news.
So excited.
Guys,
I'm so excited.
Get drunk in this industry, you'll
mm-hmm.
you'll make pals, and then they'll agree to do your podcast.
That's our
and
lesson
make you
to
feel
anyone.
Like they're just here.
A lesson to be listened to. Get drunk, and that's how you make friends, kids.
Yes.
Or else you'll never be on a podcast.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it. I am very excited to hear the hill that you're here to die on today. It's a pretty controversial one.
It's a controversial
one.
Would
you mind telling us what that hill is?
Of course. My hill is that the beach is extremely overrated. I think that's...
You're
pretty good.
You're in LA.
I'm in Los Angeles.
Girl, are you from here?
No, I'm from Ohio.
Oh, that's right.
I'm a Midwest girl.
We have the Midwest in common.
Yes.
Okay, that's interesting. Two Midwest girls arguing the beach is kind of the perfect
storm. So this is the thing. I grew up in the Midwest.
Yes.
in Cleveland, Ohio, mm-hmm. not to brag. It's the Hollywood of the Midwest, as everyone mm-hmm. says.
Mm-hmm. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Like Erie caught fire once.
Oh my God. What's the Cuyahoga River. Everyone's talking about it. And so the first time I actually went into the ocean, I was 19 years old.
No way.
True story.
Was it Pacific?
No, I went to school in Boston. I went to Boston University. Oh. And so it was like end of sophomore year. All my friends were like, wait, you've never been in the ocean? And I was like, no, because I'm from the Midwest. We had too many kids in the family and we grew up with poorness, so we didn't go places. And so they're like, we're gonna take you to the beach.
Amazing.
And so I think I have a very practical mind. Like, I don't have childhood memories of the beach that are like clouding my judgment.
Right.
I went as a 19-year-old fully formed human yes. being, and they took me to a place called Revere Beach.
Amazing.
In Boston, which is by the airport. And so we go, and the first thing they say is like, oh, well, be careful because you'll probably get like tar on your feet when you walk in the sand. Already I'm like, what's
suspicious?
Up?
Suspicious. Very suspicious.
Okay, but I'm going for it. Then we walk into the ocean. I was like, oh my God, what's all this floating stuff? And they're like, oh, just be careful. Those are jellyfish. Probably most of them are dead, but the ones that are not will really sting. And I was like, why the fuck would you bring me here? I was like, there are so many dangers. And so that was my first ocean experience.
That's wild.
It was wild. But I'm not going to lie to you. Most of my ocean experiences since then have not been much better.
That's okay. So as a fellow Midwesterner,
yes.
lake culture is a thing.
Lake culture right? is such a thing. And I mean, we have beaches.
Sure.
I did air quotes.
Yes.
Because you guys can't see me. Yes. We have beaches in the Midwest mm-hmm. against the lake, which are a little more like pebbly.
Yeah.
I mean,
the ground. Yeah. There, it's not sandy beach. It's more like, you know, get in a paddle boat.
Yes.
Go around a very still little island, fish for trout.
Fish for trout.
Musky, maybe some little sea bass.
And I hate to say this because I'll defend Cleveland until I die. I'll
sure.
defend the Midwest
mm-hmm.
And lake culture.
Absolutely, same.
It's the best place. I don't know yeah. why
it's
people
relaxing,
don't want to
It's wonderful.
There.
There's no waves.
Oh, there's no waves. You don't have to look like a model there. You
totally.
Already look like a model there. And so there would be a sign when mm-hmm. you go to Lake Erie that says, hey, if you're pregnant, you probably shouldn't go in the water, which already is a red flag
yeah,
for me.
Full red flag.
A full red flag for me. And it, especially they're like, after it rains, don't go in, which is also something that they say out here
too.
Because
yeah.
of sewage.
Mm-hmm. Pollution runoff.
Pollution mm-hmm. runoff. And at least in the Midwest, a lot of farm runoff, mm-hmm. like fertilizer, everything like that goes into the ocean, creating
yeah.
a big algae bloom.
Yes.
Terrifying.
Very scary.
Very scary. So it was like, don't go in there because either you're going to lose a child,
yeah,
lose a baby.
Yeah. If you're at risk to not be able to like raise and fertilize,
yeah.
then maybe the rest of us shouldn't be going in.
Don't
either.
Go in there.
Yeah.
Don't go in there.
Yeah.
That's like my thing.
Okay. So are you more anti bodies of water or is it specifically
you know,
the beach?
Thank you for bringing this up. I think that the beach is a terrible place to go. So I created my argument with
yes.
you where I was going to start off with the beach
yes.
and then I'm going to go into the ocean and bodies of water.
Amazing. All right, then let's start.
So I just want to say this. I feel like very little pleasure comes out of the beach other than like looking at the ocean. I totally understand looking at the ocean
sure.
is a calming, beautiful, wondrous thing.
It is.
I think that's wonderful.
Part of the experience.
But you know where else you can get that experience? Is like on a train when you're like going down the Pacific Coast and you're like, oh my God, look at that. That's the ocean.
From like a car.
From a car. Yes. I'm inside. You're driving and you're safe and you're not like
hilarious.
Just out getting like wind blown and like covered in sand. I think, oh my gosh, the ocean is beautiful. You know, a hotel looking over the ocean. I'm fully on board.
So you
I think
can acknowledge
it's
that the ocean is an aesthetically pleasing
aesthetically
place.
Aesthetically a pleasing place. I love it.
Removed.
When it's removed.
Ocean adjacent.
Oh, completely. You know what else is great looking at it? Mount Everest. That's beautiful. You don't need to be on it. You don't need
so
to be
true.
On it
so
to
true.
Like experience that. It makes you think more and I'm totally about it. But I'm just going to like go through step by step of like what a beach day would maybe be.
Great.
So you drive to the beach.
Yes.
And at least in Southern California, that takes maybe like 45 minutes to an hour when you're stuck in traffic.
Yes.
And that's
the
terrible.
Commute to the beach when you live on the east side is arguably more bad than any positive the beach could bring you. I 100%. Will agree with you on that front. But when you are staying near the beach,
it's a little easier.
I totally, yeah.
If you live near the beach, you already have, you know, eliminated
easy
a lot
access.
Of things.
Because then it's none of the stress and all the joy.
Exactly. And I think what you just said, there's a lot of stress. There's a lot of stress going to the beach. Parking at the beach, you have to pay like $25.
Uh-huh.
Someone is always yelling at you. And they're like, you can't park here. And I'm like, why? There are no signs, but they're just like, you can't park here. You can only park in this very overcrowded lot where someone will definitely run into your car. And you're like, fine. But then you still have to walk to the beach.
True.
So you're walking, you get all your gear and you're with your people. Then when you get to the sand, you have to take off your shoes.
You do.
Or else it's impossible to walk through
it. But that's the beauty of sand. That's why there's the whole saying of sand between my toes.
Sand between your toes. You know what else happens is that the sand is so hot that it's burning yes. the bottom of your feet to a degree that's torture.
Yeah, that's not good.
Where you're like, I'm going to get blisters. I have to like run, but I'm holding all this stuff. And then it's like, there's an argument of where to lay down your stuff. Where's the best like stakeout spot to be near the ocean. You don't want to be too close to people. You want to be like a little excluded. But the thing is, everyone's at the beach. It's a very crowded place.
Right. Because people enjoy it.
People enjoy it. But this is the thing. Do we? When you lay down your towel, you know, you flip it, you fluff it out, and then it immediately gets twisted in the wind. So it's all like both sides get sandy and it's like never perfectly clean. And so you're just kind of like sitting on sand. It doesn't really do anything. You're setting things up and it's just like kind of impossible to feel, I guess, like completely relaxed. That's my argument, because then it's also like, all right, we're going to like slather on, you know, suntan lotion and sunblock. And then like, oh, we brought food. But when you eat that food, 25% of that food is sand when it reaches your mouth.
Texture. Can we argue texture?
Texture. It adds a crunch
yeah.
to
Who's
the
mad
teeth.
About that?
Exactly. It just chips away at your teeth as you always
oh,
wanted
so
to
dark.
Be.
Yeah.
You just like eat a bunch
down.
Of sand. Yeah. When you go in the ocean, then you come back out. How are you supposed to eat your food? Because you obviously have seawater all over you. So what do you bring to the beach food wise?
I will say I have a tough time arguing that picnics at the beach are nice, but yeah. if you're going to a beach that's near like a nice strip, like Venice Strip, uh-huh. then you
and
exit
is
the beach.
Venice Strip on the beach, Taylor?
It's,
it is
yes.
off the beach.
It's, I guess it's adjacent. It's adjacent.
Which I am
at
totally
which point,
on board
you
for.
You can rinse off. You rinse off. You go eat your thing. Mm-hmm. So I won't argue that the beach is good for consumption.
No consumption there.
But I think when you get past the, and also the commute also off the beach. So the commute is off the beach.
True.
The parking is off the beach.
True.
Once you get on the beach, I can't argue that the initial foot to sand temperature ratio
yeah.
is always
It might
great.
Be torture. It might be
it's
torture.
Sometimes hell.
Yeah.
But once you battle your way to the actual great spot, you find the perfect location, you get the towel set,
mm-hmm.
you get to sit down and then just experience being in like nature, surrounded by this beautiful vast ocean, getting to, you know, feel like you're just like but a small cork in this whole thing
in the
and
universe. It's back on the universe
and read and
well this is my thing
then
can
what,
you also read not on the beach. I feel like the activities on the beach are actually better suited in other places.
Hilarious.
Because I also feel like when you're reading on the beach, at least I still use a book because yes. I'm 97 years old, the wind is like, you know, tussling it around. Or if you want to actually go in the ocean, you put your book down and then it's like, you pick it up and it's kind of wet and you're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I just ruined this book and it's all terrible. And I also feel like what people go to the beach for, I think, is mainly two things. One is to tan
mm-hmm.
and people can't see me right now, but I have the pigment of what I would say is like Canadian bacon. I am a very pink,
beautiful fair skin,
very, very
beautiful
pink person.
Skin.
I'm like a ghost,
no.
a ghost pig is how I would describe myself.
That's what I, when I said beautiful fair skin, I was like, you guys are all picturing ghost pig.
Like
okay,
a beautiful
cool, cool,
ghost
cool.
pig.
Yeah.
Like Miss Piggy went to heaven.
No.
But
zero.
Tanning,
yes.
as we know,
mm-hmm.
is just so bad for you. It is a melanoma like factory outside at the
sort beach. Of, but I was recently reading that, as we've discussed in the research I'm about to attack you with, is that about 98% of humans in America are vitamin D deficient right now, mm-hmm. and we do not spend enough time and a lot of in our skin, not enough time in the sun. Mm-hmm. So allowing ourselves to go out for a beach day, if you are prepared and you're not sitting there to fry yourself yes. and you're not going for the aesthetic that, you know, we all know can cause cancer,
yes.
then you're actually doing wonders for yourself because vitamin D can make you happier, can make you 100%. Healthier, can bring you more energy. So,
but
points for the ocean.
You can also get vitamin D in supplement form and you can get it from food.
Yes, but it doesn't, it's not the exact same.
Oh, it's not.
Your
the
body
exact
doesn't
same.
Ingest it in the same way. I have been given vitamin D pills, yes. which is crazy because in my head, I'm like,
you're
tan
a tan goddess.
Yes. Thank
you're
you so much.
Goddess.
That's yes.
As you're laid
brown,
out on your chaise lounge
pig,
right now.
Brown pig is what she's saying. If you get to be the pasty pig, then
yeah,
I will
yeah,
be the brown pig.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But still have been told that I have vitamin D deficiencies. I think it's because we spend so much time inside.
Inside. Yeah. But can you also get vitamin D from just walking around your neighborhood?
You can. You don't have to specifically be at the beach to get vitamin
yes.
D, but it is a perk to
it
be
is a
somewhere
perk to being out
and
in
to
the sun.
Leave and to go enjoy the ocean. A lot of my arguments in favor of the ocean are that.
I know.
Go ahead.
Well, we talked about how a lot of my gripes are ocean-based.
Yes. Are less day at the beach-based and more ocean-based.
Are they more ocean-based just because it comes out of an extreme deep fear.
Amazing.
Of the ocean.
Oh, no.
Where I see the ocean is kind of like space, where I yes. just don't understand why people would go into
there.
Oh my
God. Don't you worry. I have so many facts to help you. The goal of this podcast today is going to be to make you not as afraid and more in awe of the beauty that is the ocean.
100%.
Yeah. And I will also say, if we're being honest,
yes, let's
being
be
a
honest.
Midwestern girl,
yeah.
I haven't always been like, oh my God, the beach is amazing. Mm-hmm. It's taken some getting used to
yeah.
because we were not raised to really handle the natural habitat that
no,
is the ocean.
No.
Not a great swimmer. Do get seasick,
yeah.
which is something that doesn't happen on lakes because they're so,
calm.
You know, so calm. So originally when I was going into this, I was like, oh no, is my argument just going to be like an advertisement for Dramamine where
yeah.
I'm like, if you take it, you're fine. Will you fall asleep for a full 48 hours afterwards because you're so drowsy?
Yeah, 100%.
You might. But the day on the water is blissful.
It's blissful and beautiful.
But then after doing my research, I have a whole new appreciation for the ocean. That makes it significantly less scary and kind of cool.
Okay. I'm ready to listen, but I am going to go into my gripes.
I want you to.
Which, and I would like just like a disclaimer right now. The article I read was from a place called snorkelstore.net.
Yes.
So you know it's
yes.
legit. I just want to know
yeah,
like
there's
all
no
my
fact
facts.
Checking on this
no, no,
podcast.
No, 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 no.
So.
Okay. It was basically like a government website.
Yes.
I'm going to list a few things on why they're terrible.
Okay.
Number one on that list was riptides.
Oh, yeah.
Riptides are tides that will pull you out into the ocean. So the ocean, I will just say as an umbrella, is actively trying to kill you. It is actively trying to kill you where it's trying to pull you in. It's mad. It's pissed that we're there. We're not supposed to be there. We are land dwellers and it knows and we're not supposed to be on there. So riptides actively pull you in this moment of panic of being drawn into the ocean, probably underwater.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have the wherewithal to be like, I have to swim parallel to the shoreline in order to get out of this riptide.
Yes.
While you're being pummeled to the bottom of the ocean, you have to think so fast. You can't breathe. You can't see. If I told you there was a place in downtown Los Angeles where you will be pummeled to the ground, where you cannot breathe and you cannot see, and you have to think, you have to run parallel. You have to run east and west and just know where that is without any of your senses. You'd be like, Bridget, I'm not going there. I'm not
sure.
going to go to that place.
Fair.
Because that's insane.
But it sounds like you're going in at unsafe times.
Again, full disclosure,
yes.
I probably haven't been in the ocean in about 2 or 3 years.
Amazing.
Have you heard of shore break?
Oh, no. What's that?
Okay, so shore break is when the ocean is a little confused because it goes from deep water into shallow water.
Yeah.
And so what it is this is a quote. The water breaks violently on the shallow waters and the shore, causing you to tumble and be thrown. This type of ocean danger can break bones and necks. Okay, so you're in there.
That's horrifying.
Just swimming around. enjoying your day, being like, I just had some sandy hummus on the beach with my friends, and I'm just going to swim right in there. And all of a sudden, a wave comes down that is so strong that it breaks your bones and possibly your neck.
Okay, but you're arguing then that everything you do on the day-to-day is safe.
Like, oh, no, 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 I'm not. Oh, Taylor, I think land is dangerous enough, but we have to live on land. We don't have to go into the ocean.
Sure.
We absolutely do not have to.
But you don't have to get in a car. That's a freak accident.
This is a freak accident.
Otherwise be an enjoyable experience.
I totally agree with you. But I also think that there are a lot of dangers that we can prevent.
Sure.
You know not to go to a shady part of town because you're like, hey, that might be shady. It's not safe for me. Or I am not going to go like hiking while completely wasted, even though I want to enjoy the splendor of it and like see nature. But you know, that's kind of dangerous. Yes. Or going to certain places that are like, hey, by the way, there's a shit ton of mountain lions there.
Sure.
But I want to see the mountains.
But this feels like natural disaster-esque. Like,
okay, well then
the
I will skip over tsunamis.
That you live in LA, there's earthquakes. If tsunamis is your argument, this house is literally so rent-controlled because it's on a fault line.
Oh, well, I completely agree. And that's why also I don't think people should live in California, but I think that's another hill I would die on later.
And there's nothing we can do about it if we want to be in our industry.
If we have to be in our industry, I have to be here.
Yeah.
But I have to be in California for my job, but I do not have to be in the ocean for my job.
Hilarious.
I will also like to bring up this sweet fact that I just learned the other day, and this is terrifying.
Oh, no.
And I mean, again, just like piling on my fear of global warming and I think everyone should be terrified of. I just want everyone to know, because of global warming and that the oceans are warming, it's now become a breeding ground for bacteria that we have never even encountered before, or like ancient bacteria, including flesh-eating bacteria. And there have already been a few cases on the East Coast of people getting flesh-eating bacteria from the ocean.
Stop.
And they only predict that it's going to be more widespread. And
So that is horrifying.
Horrifying.
But I will say it is also global warming is affecting so much of our earth that it's not ocean specific.
No.
We're also in California now getting those like invisible ninja mosquitoes that are biting and carrying diseases.
Oh, I have one on my hip right
now. It's crazy. We used to not have mosquitoes. I mean, even like 7 years ago, I remember everyone being like, oh, there's no mosquitoes. And now I wake up and I'm like, why? Like,
why am I
was outside for 20 minutes yesterday and now I have bites.
It doesn't make any sense.
And a lot of that is global warming driven.
It's terrifying.
So, arguably, that is horrifying.
It's 100
flesh-eating
bacteria where people have to get amputated, but
stop.
Like legs amputated, and one man just passed away because they could not stop it.
That's horrifying.
Absolutely horrifying, because he went to a day at the beach.
No, he didn't. It's from one day.
One day at the beach in the ocean. It's terrifying.
I'm scared of a lot of things, you'll find. This is like it situation for me. This is scary movie status.
I can't believe that I'm still alive, because I am so terrified of everything in this world, and especially in this global
warming situation. But also, the reason we heard about this guy so far, thankfully, is because he's the outlier. It's, you know,
like one of the first cases where he passed, someone passed away.
Yes. And that's not to say that we shouldn't take it seriously, because clearly global warming is insane and we need to, you know, try to turn
this. Hey, we got
to
keep an eye on that.
We got to keep, hey, rumor has it, something we need to clock. We need to, you know, maybe consider it.
It is becoming such a nuisance.
It's really getting in the way.
And
getting
I'm
in the way of
it.
Our beach days.
Getting away of our just day at Muscle Beach where I'm just working out with all my other buds. Okay, so this is my next point.
Yes.
So far this year, like the number isn't super hard because I think the article I read was from May.
Mm-hmm.
So far this year, there have been 300 shark attacks, including one girl was attacked and died by a gang of sharks.
Okay.
Taylor, there are shark gangs in the ocean.
Yes.
There are shark gangs
there's
in the ocean.
There's also surfer gangs on land.
And oh, I
also,
cannot stand surfer gangs.
Hold on.
They're
hold on.
Cool.
But okay,
oh,
I'm Googling
their
this
hair.
Right now because I know there's a fact about shark attacks versus other accidents, and we fear shark attacks, but shark attacks are like, here, 25 shocking things more likely to kill you than a shark.
Oh, I know. They're like wolves and like bees.
So many things on land. So
but
you are
there
significant.
We can't.
High school football is the number one thing that comes up.
Oh.
More likely to kill you than sharks. Champagne corks. Hilarious. More likely to kill you than sharks. Tripping. More people last year died of tripping.
But on land, they have to be on land.
Yes, on
land. We have to be on land. We do not have to be in the ocean.
Right. If you're more likely to die from tripping on land than you are from sharks in the ocean, wouldn't it be safer if we spent more time in the water?
I don't think so, because we can't breathe there and eventually we'll get tired and drown.
I don't know. Doing the best I can over here.
Which
but
leads
you
me
spent
to
your days
drowning
over there. Yeah.
With drowning.
Yeah.
Per year, I think they said somewhere it's around 300,000 people die of drowning cases. Now, all of that is not in the ocean. That can be in lakes and rivers and also in pools.
Did you say 3,000?
I think it was 300,000 per
300,000 die of drowning. And that's all across. I mean, I guess that makes
sense.
That's
only in the United States.
Yeah. And isn't like 70% of the world covered in water?
Yes.
So it's it makes sense.
It's probably
that,
so much more.
Yeah. And it's a form of travel. Yes. It's a form of leisure. Yes. It's a form of work. There's a lot of reasons that people do have to be on bodies of water. So it makes sense that there's a lot of deaths on water as well as on land.
As well as on land. Hey, you know what? I'm going to say something controversial.
Sure.
It's not a safe world out there. It is pretty scary.
Heard it here first. Yeah, even on land.
Even on
guys,
land.
There's things we got to look out for. This list is actually hilarious. Now that I have it, I
of
just want to tell you a few
you?
Other, of other things. Stoplight intersections. Obviously, that one's dark. Coconuts. Falling coconuts
what?
Cause about 150 deaths annually, which is more than
on
sharks.
On the beach?
Oh, shoot.
Taylor, on the
no.
beach?
Oh, hey, if you love coconut,
I
coconuts,
do love
where
coconut.
Do you find them?
The beach. You find them in Trader
without
Joe's.
Without the beach. Yeah, but without the beach, we would have no coconut.
100%. 100%.
You know what else we wouldn't have without the beach? Sushi.
Sushi, which leads me to almost my next point.
Oh, no.
But I'll skip over jellyfish because I already shared my story.
Jellyfish are pretty horrifying.
That's awful.
You know they're like brainless creatures?
Isn't so they're so zombies. They're zombies of the beach is what you're talking about.
Oh, my God.
They're beach zombies.
That's exactly
that we just willingly go in and get stung and like...
By beach zombies.
By
oh
beach
no.
zombies. I know this isn't ocean. This is freshwater, but this is also beachside.
Okay.
Alligators and going into freshwater.
Yeah.
Can
arguably,
I describe to you how alligators kill people?
Oh, God, I don't want you to, but yeah.
It's insane. So... Alligators won't just like eat you when you're like swimming in the water like a shark will take a bite out of you.
Sure.
No, this is what alligators do. They pull you down into the water and they drown you.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of like spin you around. They like beat you up down below water so you completely drown and you become unconscious.
Jesus.
Then they take you to their lair where they store you. They store your body underwater until you bloat up and you become tender enough for them to later eat. So this is like
a
lifetime
you call
movie.
It a lair. In any animated film where the alligator's the good guy, he catches something, he brings it to his refrigerator.
A young woman, not his lair.
Yeah.
He takes a young woman down to his lair where he waits for her to die
to
later
be tender.
Eat. It
in
is
the
a
same
lifetime
way that we
movie.
Do to other animals.
Yeah, I mean, it's terrifying. I think the world is a cruel place. But that one really freaked me out.
That's
because
horrible.
I was like, oh my God.
That's so scary.
That's so scary. It's so
gross.
Scary
I think
to
drowning
think about.
Is one of the worst ways to go.
I think that
it
would be the worst way to go.
Drowning or burning? I don't know which one would be
Ooh,
worse.
I don't like either, but I think that's what's going to happen to us in California. Not
both?
To like bring it out.
Drowning or burning?
Both.
Oh, well, what? That doesn't make sense.
At the same time.
No.
Or flushing bacteria.
That
I
doesn't
can't.
Make sense. So we go in the water, we start to drown, we catch a flesh-eating bacteria, which causes our skin to erode and burn from the inside
out. And they're kind of like, the only way to cure this is gasoline.
I hate this.
And then you're just in a wild part.
This really is destroying beach days.
It's, I mean, I don't mean to be the Debbie Downer, but I just want people to be aware.
It's just spreading knowledge.
I'm spreading knowledge.
We're all about knowledge on this podcast.
But I do want people to also be aware. Again, like I said, I think the ocean is a wonderful, beautiful place.
Yes.
I think people going into the ocean and going to the beach and like fishing and everything is actually destroying our sweet ocean.
Okay.
All of our oceans by littering. One.
Yes.
That's terrible. Also, overfishing.
Yeah, the way we treat the ocean.
The way we treat the ocean.
I will never argue is...
Not nice.
It's great. Yeah.
Not nice.
Okay, so we shouldn't go in because we've ruined it. So back in the day,
it would
have been safer.
I think we've ruined it and the ocean got mad at us and now it's fighting back.
Yeah.
That is my take on it.
Poseidon.
Poseidon. It is so pissed. I've never seen Aquaman, but I assume that's what it's about.
never seen it either, but I'm all about this plot line.
I'm all, like...
Oceans fight back.
Oceans fight back. Maybe that's what the Ocean's 13 was about. I stopped after 11.
So in this scenario, the ocean is actually the protagonist then.
It
so
is
points for
at
ocean.
Us. Oh my God, Taylor, I didn't even bring up the other creatures that live at the bottom of the ocean.
Yes.
Which are pure monsters, and you know they are.
they're kind of amazing.
Pure monsters. They create light to, like, you know, lure people in.
Oh yeah, that we've all seen that scary one in Nemo where he follows that like crazy light, and then all of a sudden it's like,
light, and it looks like a monster. Yeah, but that's what they actually look like.
I know,
they are living monsters, and no one's talking about it. I'm like, what the fuck? Why are they making movies about like Frankenstein and it? You know, like Pennywise. That is the scariest thing I've ever seen, is the fish that live in the bottom of the ocean.
The fish at the bottom of the ocean, I will say, are arguably some of the most horrifying creatures that we've ever seen. And many of which we probably still haven't seen because we can only go a certain depth.
Yes, 100%. But we've seen pictures.
Yes.
And knowing that they're down there below our feet when we're in the ocean, I can't imagine.
But you also know that there's like bad people on this earth, right? So like you also
this
know
is
that
the first time I'm hearing of that too. Yeah.
Okay, well, let me tell you about a little thing. A little guy called with the last name Manson.
Yeah.
You guys, look, I'm going to be fully honest with you. I don't like the beach.
I know.
And this is really hard for me to defend because I'm doing the best I can.
You're doing a great
job. As a Midwestern person.
Yeah.
But when I was Googling it, I was like, you know what? Maybe we should respect the ocean a little more. I found some fun things. The ocean regulates our climate. So as per climate change, it's helping us out.
It's trying.
That's good. It absorbs carbon dioxide, which we create.
Yes.
Holds 97% of the Earth's water, which supports the greatest abundance of life on our planet, including some of those terrifying things, but also including some of the real niceties, like Nemo or any of the sushi we get to consume.
Exactly. Any of the sushi
which is
that
now
going
to kill us of mercury poisoning, as is. It's fine. We kill it. It kills us. The circle of life
Again,
has changed dramatically.
Life.
Yeah. Mercury is definitely what's going to get me. It's going to be overconsumption of fish.
How often do you eat sushi?
Too much. I didn't used to eat. I used to be full vegetarian. Yeah. I'm now pescatarian.
Yeah.
And
I'm
going to
be honest
eat,
with you. Same.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah. Well, being out here, man, there's so much fish.
I know.
It's
there's
so
much fish.
And
I don't want to be a bummer when I like go out to eat, which I feel like sometimes
it's very
people
hard.
Will be like, I want to go to Korean barbecue and I would just get a bowl of lettuce.
Yes. You're like, I guess I'll have the kimchi. And you're like, okay, I can at least like have the octopus. Octopus, delicious.
It is good. It is good. Does it freak me out to look at it? 100%.
Yeah. All right. Well, since I'm going to get yelled at for not defending this well enough, I'm going to do the best I can. Here are a few things that I found mainly from the internet and not from my own personal experience about why the ocean is great. Despite the fact that I get incredibly seasick, sand drives me insane. And I have to be honest on this podcast, guys, but here's what it is. 70% of our planet's oxygen is produced by the ocean. It's do you like relaxing, Bridget? Because it's...
you know what, Taylor, now that you brought it up, I do like
That's
relaxing.
That's what I thought, because water gives your brain an actual needed break. There's science that the sound and sight of water is much simpler for your brain to process than what you see day to day. So when you're around water, your brain doesn't have to work as hard to process things, and naturally it relaxes you. So a day at the beach, Bridget, therapy.
It relaxes you.
Free therapy.
Free therapy. I pay $185 for my therapy.
Yes, I probably pay around the same.
And then, you know, it depends because my insurance pays for like
part exactly.
of it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, there's some copay. That. Love it.
But yes, you are right. Especially as a woman, you are like, I don't want to think. I want to just relax.
I want to turn it off. Exactly. So good
so much
for women.
Stressful.
So the ocean is feminist?
It's feminist. It's like, hey, do you have a problem? Just stare at me for a little while. We'll like figure it all out together.
Yes.
I think that's wonderful. But again, like I said, you know where you can do that.
Actual therapy?
You can do that in actual therapy. You can do that from a hotel room or a nice Venice beach seaside tavern. You can look at the ocean.
Yes. Another one of them was that the ocean actually breeds happiness because of the sound of crashing waves, which is why if you've ever gotten a massage or if you've ever done a yoga class, they oftentimes play for you the sound of water because as a background, it's repetitive and gentle and it essentially, you know, dispels stress and gives you more of a blissful state of mind.
Is it cheating if
More
I say
happiness?
You know what also does that? Listening to your podcast.
Aww,
see,
that was so nice. Now I can't argue anymore.
Exactly, you can't argue. Just a soothing Midwestern voice. Supporting, but also bringing up like logical facts. I think that's very soothing.
My little old heart doesn't even want to defend the ocean anymore.
I
because
know.
You guys, here's a way to win an argument. Flattery.
Flatter.
And all of a sudden I'm like, she's so smart.
You
everything,
know what?
You know, everything she says is so right.
I don't I care what they say about Bridget Kyle.
Listen to this podcast.
You're likely not going to die when you're listening to this podcast.
That's so true. You're not
no shark
as,
attacks.
No, unless you're listening to it in the water, which shouldn't be.
You shouldn't be doing that. You're going to ruin your phone.
No, don't do that. You're right.
That's so terrible.
Points for land. Okay. Another thing, salt water specifically is actually good for your joints, muscles, and skin, which is amazing. As someone who's always trying to live forever in terms of my skincare.
Yes.
God bless salt water.
God bless salt water. Do you do Epsom baths?
I don't think I've ever done an Epsom salt bath, but I guess you're right. You can do that.
You can do that.
But you wouldn't be able to do it if you wouldn't have access to the ocean. So some of these things might require you, not require that you be at the ocean, but someone has to go to the ocean
to
get it so that you can enjoy it.
I know.
So points for the ocean. So we're pretty much pro the ocean as long as we specifically don't have to get our feet wet, march in the sand, mm-hmm. burn our feet in the sand, and then come home and never be free of the sand.
Never be free of the sand. I just want to bring up that moment in which you all decide as a group that you're going to leave the beach, and then you have to pack everything up, and everyone's just like a little damp and covered in sand, and your skin feels weird from like the salt water, and your hair's all crunchy, and you're shaking things out, and you're trying to figure out like where to put all the empty containers of like the food and the drink, and you're like running back to your car, and then you get in your car and everyone's just quiet for like an hour because everyone's like so tired.
No, they're relaxed. They're relaxed.
I think people are
beach.
A little burnt, a little tired. Tired, a little upset, but no one can articulate why.
Yeah.
And then you sit in traffic and you go home and you're like, I feel like we did a lot today, but I have nothing to show for it in a way, except for some burns.
The beach to me is amazing because I feel like it's one of those things where you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to love this. I see it. It's beautiful. I want to do this.
Yeah.
And then you have to go once or twice a year just to remind yourself why you don't go.
Yeah.
If you have a bad time at the beach, it grows your love of the land. And
I think that's a great
appreciation
argument.
And gratitude. So
I think that's
a hatred
really...
for the beach breeds gratitude, Bridget.
That is true. I was at the beach yesterday because my mom is in town.
Yes.
She really wanted to go to the
beach. Of course. That's the only time to go is when guests are in town. If you're from the Midwest, you're not going to find us at the beach naturally.
No. We're like, what the shit is this?
Yes.
It's so crowded and it's damp. Look at this burn I got, Taylor. You can't
say.
But it's like, that's what I got for
going to
the
beach.
It's
almost like a cool tattoo.
It's kind of like a cool tattoo.
You just missed with the sunscreen.
As an adult, I still don't know how to put on sunscreen. So I have a zigzag on my back.
Did you ever do that thing as a kid where you put like a sticker or something and then you sunscreened everywhere except that sticker?
Oh my God. Wasn't
cool
enough
tat.
To do that. Yeah.
Well,
I
points
definitely.
For teens at the beach.
I know. That's another thing. Teens at the beach.
Teens anywhere. Scary.
Extremely
scary. Crowd.
I live near Fairfax High School and it's just writhing with teens.
Oh man.
So I'm terrified to go outside.
We're right by
John Marshall.
Yeah. We were recently warned at our Starbucks to not order for takeout once the school year starts because the kids just walk in and just take your coffee and bounce.
Yeah.
And what are you going to tell them? No, absolutely not. They're terrifying.
I'm not going to talk to teens.
They look so cool. Yeah. Not
they're
getting
laughing
fight.
At
they can
us.
Have my latte. Oh,
oh
absolutely.
Taylor, they're laughing at us.
They are. What's scarier? The things at the bottom of the ocean or teenage girls?
I don't know. I honestly can't tell because could you imagine a combination like teen marine life?
Teen marine life is the scariest combination. New scary movie idea.
So judgmental.
Oh, worse.
So condescending. No respect for you. And they're going to fucking kill you.
And they can fucking eat you. I think on that note.
I think that was a good podcast.
How are you feeling?
I think we both argued well.
I think you've done a great job of dying on this hill today. With that, I would love to read you your eulogy.
I can't.
Unless, are there any closing words you'd like to say to us about the ocean?
Yes, please don't go. And that's it. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. And with that, here we go. We've gathered here today to say goodbye to Bridget Kyle, who died on the hill of The Ocean is Overrated. Bridget is survived by her show Superstore, new season premiering September 26th. You can follow Bridget's legacy on Instagram at Bridget Kyle and on Twitter at Raised by Humans. Bridget, we're so, so grateful for your time here on this earth and for sharing your last words with us today. And there's one thing we can promise you, it's that we will not be sprinkling your ashes in the ocean.
Thank you. That would be my biggest fear.
So
again.
That you don't come back and haunt us.
I would definitely
alongside.
Haunt you. I would definitely haunt you. I don't want, that kind of Game of Thrones-y send-off where you're like burning me on a river.
No, definitely not.
Oh my God.
Buried on the land.
Deep in the land. Deep as far as you can go.
Amazing.
Maybe at the Grove. That would be nice. I appreciate it.
Bridget, may you rest in peace.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing that.
Thank you, Taylor.
You're the best. Hey guys, thank you for listening to today's episode of Hills I'd Die On. If you're enjoying the podcast, feel free to rate it on Apple Podcasts and leave a comment letting me know what you like most. You can also reach out to me on Twitter at @bytaylorcox. I am always happy to hear thoughts or feelings or compliments or, of course, any hills you guys might be willing to die on yourselves. Thanks again for listening and hope to see you next week.